Rabash, and he said, when you give birth to the Hebrew ladies, and he said, when you give birth to the Hebrews, and you see when they are born, if it is a son, kill it. If it is a girl, you can let it live. Pharaoh ordered all his people that any son being born, throw into the Nile, and any girl, you can let it live. We have to interpret it by the way of Remez. When one starts to walk on the path of the Creator, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is the king, controlling the bodies so that they can keep on working from working, the workers from working in order to bestow. The body resists it not to come to the complete desire, meaning that all his actions will be for the Creator's sake. That's why he said, meaning he gave the order that when the workers are engaging in the Torah and mitzvot, this is called the Hebrews, the work in the Torah and the mitzvot are relevant for the servants of the Creator. However, the Egyptians are called that a person is engaging in corporeal acts, and these acts are the Egyptians' engagements. Only when engaging in the Torah and mitzvot, it is called Hebrews. And you saw them when you gave birth to them, meaning when a person says he wants to understand what he's doing, meaning for what purpose he is engaging in the Torah and mitzvot. If he's a son, meaning his work is in order to bestow, this is man's desire when engaging in the Torah and mitzvot, you should kill it, meaning not give any life to it, no forces, so that he'll stop his work. If it is a girl, meaning his intention is a nekeva, a female, meaning in order to receive, you can let it live. Meaning you may give it force and life, because this person doesn't wish to come out of Egypt. There's no fear. We shouldn't fear him. That's why you can help him. He can do whatever he wants. He can be even very meticulous about things, because in any case, he will remain here in Egypt. Rav, how can we distinguish between the disturbances that come as negative desires or as a revelation of the negative system? This can be Egyptians, or it may be Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the entire system of the evil inclination, and the Egyptians that are being revealed in us are various personal disturbances. Egoistic desires. So what's the difference between the revelation of the desires, the egoistic desires, and the revelation of the corrupt system? Please. Say like in an electronic system, mechanic system, it's not one item which is corrupt, it's the whole system. Or maybe not the whole system, but partially. Meaning the connections between them, the way they work is corrupt. What's the difference between one item being broken or corrupt and a partial system that is broken, that is revealed as corrupt? Please. As much as I understand the question, in life, in the mechanical system, usually one part is damaged and it can cause a problem. But in human systems, the problem is always the connection between the different parts. That's where the network is not working properly. Then all the problems are being revealed. If you're connected to the center, the 10, through the corrupt desire, which is a flaw in you. And the prayer, then you have a feeling of the system and an opportunity to illuminate in it. Meaning it's from the individual to the collective. So you can use that. I have nothing in me except the egoistic desire, so I don't know what. I know that when I discover the corrupt connections in the system, that's a real revelation, recognition of evil. My egoistic desires are just there. Yeah, the system in itself and each and every part of it, they're fine. There's no problem with it. We don't have to engage in it. But the disturbances we have, all the lack of connections between the system, they're all right as well. They're part of this business. The question is, what are we doing with it? Should we connect, correct them? Or how do we connect them to the entire corrected system? The difference is in you. There is no difference in them. The question is, are you connected to the general system or not? If you're not connected, you see them as broken items. And if you are connected to the system, then you see the whole system as a whole complex that needs correction.
The more you connect to the ten, the more you find details that are broken within you, and then you discover your entire system that is basically incorrect. And every such detail that we correct, we can feel how it influences the whole system and how you are exposed to more and more dense that you wouldn't find before. You wouldn't find these additional disturbances if you wouldn't connect with the friends first.
What's the difference between revelation of the egoistic desires to when it's not the particular in the corrupted system, but it's the connections that are corrupted in the system? Well, I don't know.
The connections in the system, when they're egoistic, they're hidden. And they have to be revealed and discovered. And in a mechanical system, there are components that can malfunction, like a pipe or a conduit or like an engine or a resistor. But in a connection between egoistic components, where each component is clear, the connection is hidden. The connection needs to unfold. It needs to become revealed. And then it's clear that all the corruption is in the connection between the components, turning the egoistic components into one system.
I'll just add that Roy, that who's in Brazil, is sending wonderful answers.
However, if he is a son, meaning his intention is to reach the sake of heaven and not self-benefit, then he can merit the aspect of the Savior of Israel, which is the aspect of Moses. As our sages said, Moses spread in each and every generation. And if one merits the aspect of Moses, referred to as the Savior of Israel, which saves them, taking them out of Egypt, then we have to foresee in order to prevent him from exiting the exile of Egypt. But how can they be informed that he's going in order to bestow? For he's still in Egypt, which is self-benefit, and not in order to bestow. Rather, he now wants to merit that. And about that, they said, there is a sign. A male faces downwards and a female faces upwards. Because the matter of face and posterior is interpreted in the introduction to tests. When a person is seen from behind, then it's unknown whether it is the person that is thought of. It could be another person, there could be a mistake. However, when one sees one's friend through the face, then there are no doubts. So, when one wants to hint at something that is utterly understood in the mind without a mistake, that is referred to as the face. And something that is unclear to the mind is referred to as posterior. Therefore, the face is the aspect of knowledge and reason, that one goes to the servitude of the Creator only by reason, because what's important to him is the reason, and the posterior means that it's only by faith, because in the mind there are aspects in both ways, and that is less important to him. So he gave them the sign. If you wish to know if one is going towards the goal of reaching in order to bestow, it is whether his face is downwards, meaning the aspect of reason is lower in his importance, and his posterior is upwards, meaning that the aspect of faith is higher in his importance, and that indicates that he wants to become a boy, meaning in order to bestow, and therefore he should be put to death, meaning prevent him with whatever you can, because he will certainly merit the aspect of Moses, who is the Savior of Israel, who will take them out of the exile from Egypt and enter them into the land of Israel, the palace of holiness.
But we know that Pharaoh is actually help against him, because he too is working in order to cause correction, to bring us all to the end of correction, only in his way. So what does it mean that he says to disturb the sons and to help and support the daughters, the girls? How does he advance everything towards correction that way? Go ahead, that's a question. How does Pharaoh? Well, he's doing it in the opposite way of the Creator. How does he too cause correction? By saying, kill the sons, the boys, and leave the girls.
Pharaoh,
Rav, how by that does he bring Israel closer to the Creator?
Pharaoh always increases the oviut, the coarseness in the person, the force of separation, the appearance of distance and hatred, and by that he opens up the kli, inviting him to a higher level. So he always adds the left, with the 10 we add the right, and then we can run.
Yep, he gives you the chance to advance and to make true change, because he's constantly under scrutiny. He does not let you rest or calm down, or he forces you to scrutinize constantly. You have no choice.
Yeah, it causes you to sink into the world, to receive deeper and deeper, luring you, tempting you with so many temptations that that's currently how it leaves us room for work.
Yep, I think that we spoke about this the entire lesson, how a person, he called it the 49 gates of impurity, and that he swallowed them, and then he threw them up again. So walking in the opposite path, it makes a person leave this path of a small child and at the end of the day reach out to the upper force that's with him.
Yeah, we have to take the Creator to Pharaoh and then use him in the most positive way.
Yeah, for taking it for taking the Creator from Pharaoh, you need to first know the Pharaoh. Meaning we need this, we have this dependency that we need to create the quality of bestowal, because that's the only way we can beat the ego. So we want this quality to exist, to dwell among us.
Boys or girls, it's the result of our actions, it's our next degree. If we long for a bestowal, then we can say that the son that will be born is the corrected degree that is more inclined towards bestowal. A daughter refers to the will to receive, desires to receive that also grow. So Pharaoh doesn't really want us to feel like we're moving towards bestowal and detaching from the reward. So he wants to destroy the sons, and with the daughters he has no problem because it's an addition of will to receive. By that he moves us forward as well, showing us additional layers of our ego.
Maybe we can say that our preparation, like we're doing, we're actually talking this about this the whole lesson. It's the way you're ready for the next stage is to give birth to sons, because Pharaoh knew there'll be one.
I only have daughters, no, but... Well, the feeling is that Pharaoh is actually a sucker because he wants to destroy the sons, but he does the opposite action because from that decree, he actually induces more work, more scrutiny.
I don't know what else to say about Pharaoh. I'm very jealous of the friends that are peeling now. I think it's fun there.
Therefore, you should put them to death, meaning prevent him however you can, because he will certainly merit the aspect of Moses, who is the Savior of Israel, that will take them out of the exile in Egypt and enter them into the land of Israel, the Palace of Holiness. And that is the meaning, and you have seen my posterior, meaning the aspect of faith. It says, and my face shall not be shown, meaning by reason you will not attain me. And Pharaoh made a decree to all his people, meaning that he did not know from what people the Savior of Israel would be born, whether it will be Egypt or Israel. Because every person is integrated with corporeal deeds referred to as Egypt, where the Egyptians also engage in corporeal actions. Therefore, the work of man in corporeal deeds is referred to as Egypt. And when one is engaged in deeds of Torah and Mitzvot, he's referred to as Israel. So he says that he does not know from what aspect one may acquire merit, the aspect of Moses, which is referred to as the Savior of Israel. Meaning it could be when a person is engaged in corporeality, but all of his intentions are in order to bestow. And while making corporeal actions, he can also merit the aspect of the Savior of Israel. Therefore, watch over them as they are engaged in corporeal actions, where if they aim in order to bestow, that is referred to as a male, throw them to the Nile. Don't allow them to aim even their corporeal actions in order to bestow, which is referred to as a son. And if it's a girl, she shall live, meaning only when one's intention is to receive in order to receive, then you can give it life and power to make the corporeal actions. However, if it is a son, then he can merit at that time the aspect of Moses referred to as the Savior of Israel that will take them out of the exile in Egypt and take them into the land of holiness.
So how does Pharaoh help us scrutinize the discernments that are in us, that are related to Egypt, that are related to exiting Egypt, through his laws? How does Pharaoh help us scrutinize our vessels, which ones are for correction, which ones are not yet for correction, those to leave in Egypt and those to advance to Exodus? Go ahead.
It's not like there's someone who decides and move that forward now or don't. It's just that there's no vessel of faith. And that's how that vessel develops, specifically by the awareness, the recognition that it doesn't exist, that it's not there, that a person is opposite to the upper force.
Pharaoh, he emphasizes the place of work, and he grows us by that.
By helping us see his inclination and making these decrees, these disturbances that come from him, so that we eventually come to a point of asking the Creator, realize that he doesn't have the solution.
Any revelation of Pharaoh is a chance to make an effort to return to the connection between us as much as we can and ask of the Creator to help us at the end to return to connection with him.
Pharaoh is not that evil. He awakens us nicely. He says, you're working for me for 300-350 years. You don't get anything out of that. It's hard work. But you know how it works. Just stay a bit longer, a few more 100 years. What's so bad? Why are you looking for adventures? Why change? Doesn't awaken that question of the meaning of life, where a person is fed up with that state and he understands he has to move forward, even though he doesn't understand what is forward at all. But
Rav, how to see in Pharaoh the posterior of the Creator, that the system works two ways, in two partsufim, seemingly. The partsuf of Pharaoh and the partsuf of the Creator. How can we see that this system works in harmony, in the correct form of connection between Pharaoh and the Creator, in order to advance us to the purpose of creation? How do these two complement one another, complete each other? One, when is it from Pharaoh, and when is it from the Creator? And then we reach this constant state that there is none else besides him, that he's good and benevolent, and even the angel of death seems to us as the holy angel.
The old man that crouches to look for deficiencies, without Pharaoh, he wouldn't find anything. He wouldn't have any room for prayer or any lack. So when there's a prayer, there's contact with the light, with the Creator. Without it, there's no way to bring light and life into Adam Rishon. So without Pharaoh, there's no room for prayer, and therefore you can't have an answer to the prayer by the Creator. Because we're a will to receive, we're built that way, that we would take from the will to receive the sons too, all the good deeds, so to speak. We would take it from the will to receive and create a sort of a shell. He actually helps you to not have shells. Same with the disturbances. The more we're connected to the group, the more Pharaoh appears, showing us the place for connection. Looks like we're going back to the beginning of the lesson, that everything becomes clear in the group. That specifically in how a person relates to the group, he finds those very subtle points of where he's going, and he sees where he actually needs to submit himself more. Meaning, in his relation to the group, he sees his connection to none else besides him or the angel of death. Not to stop building the prayer. And the prayer enables us, even if it's not really correct, it enables us to find this contrast between Pharaoh and the Creator. Otherwise, we can stay in Egypt a million years more.
What you need to do is exert in connection, love one another, give an example to each other, strengthen the connection between us, and from that we'll awaken Pharaoh. That's how we'll awaken him, and then we'll be able to reach even more connection.
In order to see Pharaoh as the other side of the Creator, we need a lot of greatness and importance from the friends of the path, of the teacher, of the Creator. The importance is what will put everything in its place and allow us to see the Creator as the posterior of the Creator. Rav, do we have any song we can play from upstairs? Hello, yeah.
ממש כמוני האדם שמולי נרגש כמוני האדם שמולי נושם כמוני עד שאני יכול, עד שאני יכול להבדיל אותו ממני עד שאני יכול, עד שאני יכול להבדיל אותו ממני לחברך מה ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך מה ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך מה ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך מה ששנוא עליך כמוני האדם שמולי בוכה כמוני עד שאיני יכול עד שאיני יכול להבדיל אותו ממני עד שאיני יכול עד שאיני יכול להבדיל אותו ממני אל תעשה לחברך מה ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך מה ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך מה ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך מה ששנוא עליך
אנחנו ממשיכים, בבקשה, שוב, כולנו יחד,
We are continuing, please, all of us together, as one heart. Most important is not looking at the potato, but looking to the center of the group and listening to what our reader is telling us.
We're on page 217, the Hebrew book, Rabash, Mocha and Liba. The will to receive is expressed in mocha and liba, mind and heart. And by a person correcting it to be in order to bestow, then he can receive the upper abundance. And we'll explain the matter of the will to receive in the heart. Since the heart is the desire to receive pleasures and fulfillment. Therefore, if a person can correct his deeds in a way that he can give up on all the different pleasures of the world, in a way that he'll see that there'll be no benefit for that, for the heavens, then he's rewarded in receiving true pleasures, since their reception is not for their own benefit. And as it's explained in the verse, he looked here and there, and he sees that there is no man, and he killed the Egyptian. And Rashi interpreted and said that he saw that nothing good will come from him, meaning he saw that from this Egyptian, meaning from this action, there will be no benefit. And he killed the Egyptian, meaning by not enabling him to fulfill his desire and rejecting his request. And that is considered that he put to death the action and thought of this Egyptian, which is included in the matter of his heart. Likewise, the enjoyment of the mind is only by him doing what he understands that he's doing. And to the extent that he does things that are against his mind, that his mind forces him to do otherwise, then his sufferings are measured according to the extent that he has resistance in his mind. And while a person goes above reason, then when he'll be given the mind which forces his work, he'll be able to say that he receives all of that in order to bestow, because he's willing to give up on all of his mind, his reason. And then he'll be rewarded with a light of faith that he can give up for his own self-benefit. And the proof is that he does that, even that it's against the mind, the reason. Anyhow, he's qualified to receive the light of faith, and he can be certain that his intention is to bestow. However, when he cannot work in a matter of faith, but only what his reason forces him to, meaning according to his will to receive, then he remains in the tzimtzum. That's why you need two types of work, in mind and in heart.
How do we cope with the broken desires in the mind, and how do we cope with them in the heart? It's impossible. Only if we connect, we get the mind and heart of the ten, and then it's possible. All the rest is
All the rest is a result of the mutual sensation we create. In order for it to be in our mind, it first needs to be in our heart. And from this mutual effort, to reach this mutual sensation, to reach annulment, to reach itkalalut, to create this mutual yearning, from that nature changes us, the light changes our nature, and then our mind can understand.
We draw the light, and the light corrects.
This action of bringing the light can be done only together in the group. All of our desires are corrupted. We have no desire that is not. But when we hear this, we need to quickly run to the friends and melt there among them.
So it's only in the heart, really. There's no mind here. If I only run to the friends, there's no mind. I actually was wondering about what are the broken desires. So all my desires are broken.
I had this thought that maybe the corrupted desires in Mocha and Liba, all these questions against the Creator, this is what truly disturbs us, anything that stops us from connecting to Him. And coping with that is only in faith above reason, just this getting strength from the group in order to awaken the light that will raise us above the disturbances.
Yeah, in general, it's the importance of the goal. In the mind, perhaps it's a nullification of one's reason, how much he submits himself to the group. And in the desires, it's a matter of integration as much as possible, to follow the will of the group. It's importance, and only by importance we can overcome that.
I hear the friends, and I get their mind, their reason. I hear them, I feel them. And if I feel them, that's the heart.
Rav, how do we establish the mind and heart of the group? How do we establish the mind and heart of the group?
For that we have a guide, we have books. That with them we can calibrate ourselves every time anew.
I'm copying from Shai. I was told it's permitted to copy during the workshop. The mind, if I understood Shai correctly, everyone annuls himself before the group, and the heart, everyone, it's the greatness and importance of the friends, of the path, that we communicate to each other, that we integrate with each other.
Flowing with you and with Itai.
I'm
not saying anything, that's why you can't hear. How do we arrange the mind and heart of the group?
Exactly, there's the light, there's the teacher. Something is happening and everyone needs to be responsible for the group in his place.
How do we organize the mind and heart of the group? We play, we act in organizing, in putting together this mind and heart. We act in having a collective mind and heart, and as a result, we awaken the light to give us a collective mind and heart.
And really, all our work depends on this, organizing the group so it's a strong force. So on the one hand, a person just nullifies. He annuls in two ways. One, that he annuls before the purpose of the group, the purpose of creation, to give it importance. The second thing he annuls before is his subjugation to the group. He submits himself to the group. By raising its importance, he actually submits himself.
Everything that happens here is one. And if I null myself, then I must give this one that I connect in this game. I connect the words of the friends into one.
So let's play it with this question now. How do we establish the mind and heart of the ten? What do we need to do to establish the common mind and heart? What do we need to do about it now? I think as a start, we have to integrate with each other, feel each other, speak from each other's throat.
If the heart is the desire and the mind is the intention, so again, we can create our mutual reading from page 46, Bala Sulam 159, and it came to pass in the course of those many days. From the book of Shamati on page 314, article 159. And it came to pass in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. This means that they suffered so much that they could not bear it any longer. And they pleaded with prayer that their cry came up to God. But we see that they were saying, would that we had, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. And they also said, we remember the fish which we ate in Egypt for naught, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. The thing is that indeed they were very fond of the work in Egypt. This is the meaning of, but mingled themselves with the nations and learned their works. It means that if Israel are under the dominion of a certain nation, then that nation controls them, and they cannot retire from their dominion. Thus, they tasted sufficient flavor in that work and could not be redeemed. So, what did the Creator do? The king of Egypt died, meaning they had lost their servitude. Thus, they could no longer work. They understood that if there is no perfection of the mochin, the servitude is also incomplete. Hence, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. The work means that they did not suffice for the work, that they had no liveliness in the work. This is the meaning of the king of Egypt died, that all the dominations of the king of Egypt, which he was providing for and nourishing, had died. This is why they had room for prayer. And they were immediately savaged. And afterwards, when they walked in the desert and came to a state of katnut, of smallness, they craved the servitude that they had prior to the death of the king of Egypt.
So what did they lack in the desert? What did the children of Israel lack in the desert that they remembered they had in Egypt? We're talking about a group that's already going in order to bestow, acquiring the force of bestowal, the force of Bina. What are they longing for? What did they have in Egypt that they're crying about? Where is the garlic and onions and all the stuff we ate in Egypt for free? What are they yearning for? Disturbances. Right? The increase of the will to receive that can show itself so that they can advance further and further. Bogota.
No, Kadima.
Go ahead.
Una pregunta.
Hello, Rav. A question. What is the preferable place of the work of Pharaoh? In the mind or in the heart?
The rule of Pharaoh is both in mind and heart. It's exactly like the Creator, but in the opposite form. It is the same Creator working in the opposite form on us in order to awaken all the brokenness within us. So it's called Pharaoh in order to awaken those corruptions for correction, and that's called the Creator. But we have to determine both aspects of Him as good that does good. When both of these directions are working on us, we can advance. Therefore, Pharaoh rules over both mind and heart, of course. He develops these vessels. He reveals these broken vessels. And then accordingly, we can awaken and ask for help from the Creator, from the other side, that also reaches both our mind and heart. And that's how we advance. Yes, if you have any questions, go ahead. Good. All right. You?
Niat from Turkey is asking, how do I attain the feeling of Pharaoh that works as help against him?
Again?
How do I attain the sensation of Pharaoh which works as help against him?
If I have to advance, and if I prepare myself in advance in the right way, then the Pharaoh becomes revealed, showing me where are the next flaws in the system that I should correct. We should realize that here there are basically two forms of recognition of evil. The evil that unfolds before I'm ready for it, and evil that unfolds after I'm ready for it. Here lies a question. What is, if so, the good Pharaoh in the 7 years of satiation? What is the bad Pharaoh in the 7 years of hunger? Is it the evil Pharaoh or the good Pharaoh, or it's about the children of Israel being ready for or unready for the revelation of evil? Because if I'm ready, then on the contrary, as much as Pharaoh unfolds, it's to my benefit. I'm moving forward along with his revelation, and I accept all of this knowingly and with strength. And the other way around, if I'm not ready, then it appears as the evil Pharaoh that I can't cope with. So there's a different question here. Let's say I have prepared myself, and the Pharaoh unfolds, but what's then the benefit of preparing myself? As a result of my preparation, when I now discover that I can correct and understand these corruptions, does that make me needy of the Creator or not? Here's the question. If I don't need the Creator, then what do I get from all that great preparation? When the flaws unfold. So I see this with my preparation, I can rule over it, that's all great. That's the 7 years of satiation, that everything's perfectly fine. Pharaoh's working with me in the spiritual work, but in such a way that I don't need the Creator. The Pharaoh doesn't reveal to me that I need the Creator. When the 7 years of hunger begin, then with all my preparations, with all of my work, the children of Israel sigh from the work. Meaning, the more I work, I do not attain what? The need for the Creator, that I need Him. that I need his help, that I need to recognize him, and not to succeed in scrutinizing or revealing. I want to discover my deficiency for him, and that's the 7 years of hunger. And until that deficiency consolidates and materializes, then I'm will ready for the exodus, that I'm ready to know the Creator, at least in the vessels of bestowal. And then there's the connection on the level of Mount Sinai and so forth. All right. Yes.
Victor from Nuremberg is asking, what does it mean to prepare myself correctly?
To prepare myself correctly means, I don't know what it means. It is that I am included in the center of the group, and there I annul and dissolve, literally, in the friends, in my lowliness and their greatness. I simply make myself zero. The more I can absorb them in a way that I absorption. How do you say that in Hebrew? Yes, sfiga, absorption. So in this sort of way, I am included with all my friends. That means that I integrate with the first 9 sfirot, and I become like the malchut that includes the first 9 sfirot. So that's how I attain the 10 sfirot of my soul at the degree that I can now work with. That's the work. So integration is salvation. It is the action by which I acquire the 10 sfirot of my soul. That's it.
Bogota.
Bogota.
Please.
Please.
¿Cómo trabajar con Faraón en mi escena para llegar
al estado? How can one work with how to work with a Pharaoh in my tent in order to reach the state of Israel?
Again.
How to work with a Pharaoh in my tent in order to reach the state of Israel?
In the end, we need to take on all of the Creator and all of Pharaoh and integrate with both, not confusing them together. They are as two lines, but we assemble them in the middle line that incorporates both. This is like what it says, you come for peace, the angels of peace, so to speak, the good angel and the bad angel, they both assist in the construction of the human. It's like regarding the broken system, where I see all the flaws on the left and all the correcting forces on the right, and I assemble them and match them together. The question is, again, how was the question once again?
How do I work with a Pharaoh in the tent to reach the state of Israel?
So Israel means the middle line, that I connect the right and left correctly. I always have to be inclined to the right to have the force of correction, and then according to the force of correction I acquire on the right, I use the disturbances, the flaws that appear on the left, I sort them out from light to heavy as much as I can correct, and then I complete both of them together, merge them together. That's how I work, and that's how I advance. That's it. All right, we are moving towards the conclusion. Let's hear After the song, we'll hear any announcements? No? All right. So, let's play a song to conclude.
Everything's gonna be alright. The sun will shine. לאור שחודר עכשיו אל הנשמה. Vas bien en mi puertas no cerrarán. Es conmigo debes aguantar.
Я знаю, что есть свет.
Но без твоего это не. There's no more heart of stone. All the trouble already had gone.
בכל מקום, בכל קצה, נרגיש את טעם החיים.
Продвигайся, продвигайся, где граница света и тень.